You were listening to Ladies POV with Yo and Mika. Let's get this show started.
Hello, everybody. This is Ladies POV with Yo and Mika. I am Mika, and she is...
Yolanda.
And again, this is Ladies POV, powered by Anchor. You can hear us on all streaming platforms, whichever you wish. We are there for your listening pleasure. Yes, it's been a long time, I know, but we are back and had a break and are refreshed and ready to rock with y'all. How are you, Yolanda?
I am fantastic. How about yourself?
I can't complain because, you know, we are in July. It's July already of 2021. So we're at the second half of the year already.
Already.
I cannot believe it. This year has just been rolling, you know, just full of everything.
I mean, it really has. I think, you know, again, you know, just like we were talking before the show, you know, things opened back up. People being able to get out, I think it kind of makes time move a little bit faster.
I think so, because I feel like last year, like I said, last year it seemed like it moved a little slow because we were stuck in the house, we were uncertain about things, and now the outside is open back up. Y'all are showing up and showing out. Y'all are showing up and showing out outside like y'all ain't never been nowhere before.
Oh yeah.
I hate to see it sometimes, and other times I love to see it, but you know, enjoy yourself. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with having a little fun outside in the sun, you know, but some of y'all ain't got no home training, and y'all need to stay inside.
This is very true.
Stay in if you have no home training. But anywho, that's a different show for a different time, and we're not even gonna talk about that right now. So much has gone on, I feel like, since we were last together. In the sports world.
We've gone through the playoffs. We're now at the NBA Finals.
NBA Finals. We are here. And I will say, the playoffs were good. They were good. I mean, they were good. I didn't think, like, the teams that, you know, made it, that ended up in the finals, I feel like I never saw it coming because, you know, you're so used to the popular teams, the more popular teams, shall I say, like, you know, your LAs and your Golden State. And, you know, you're used to seeing those teams, Miami, those teams in the finals. But now we have Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. When is the last time the Milwaukee Bucks got into the finals? I don't think I was going.
No, really. It's like really, it's been a minute, and it's exciting, of course, for that franchise because you know, it has been so long. And I just, you know, I'm really happy that they're able to get there, especially without Giannis the past
without
couple
Giannis.
Of games. That's been a, I know that that's going to be an issue for them, whether or not he's going to be healthy enough to come back. He had the knee hyperextension.
I just replayed that in my mind.
You know, I think it'll be, you know, I think they saved him. You know, they were able to close out with the Hawks this, you know, for the Eastern Conference Final without him the last couple few games. So, yeah, I mean, this should be an interesting series because, of course, on the other side, you have the Phoenix Suns and then you have CP3 Everybody, of course, you know, like I said, he's been in the league, and now at this point, a journeyman, you know, moved from team to team here. Everybody wants to see him get it. I think that he deserves it. You know, he's played well enough.
Definitely. He definitely deserves it. He's one that I definitely want to see him get it. And I'm rooting for the Suns for his sake. Because he's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just have these all around good players who, like you said, he's a journeyman. He's been around. Like, he's an OG at this point. He's an OG of the game, but he doesn't have a ring. And I hate to see people who are good people and they've been on multiple teams and just have not gotten that ring. So I'm here for CP3 getting this ring, and I'm really hoping that, you know, they can get it. But I'm interested in seeing these finals, like this matchup, and see how far it goes.
I mean, because the last time, the last time the Bucks were in the actual finals was 1974. And then the last time the Suns were in the finals was 1993, but before that was 1975.
Wow.
They've obviously gone stretches where they haven't been in the finals. So this should be, like I said, again, this should be really fun for both teams, you know, having in the finals for so long. So obviously somebody is going to come out with the ring for their organization.
I just hope that the fans are ready on both sides. I really hope that the fans are ready and they hype these players up, because watching the Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks, like Shaq even said at the half, you know, going back to that game, he said it doesn't even feel like a game six. And I kept thinking the same thing, because it's like the fans were quiet. They weren't really into it in that first half. So I said, well, maybe they saving themselves, you know, for the second half. They were on their phones and, you know, browsing the internet. Why are you at a fight, like a playoff game? Why are you there if you're going to be on your phone the whole time? I need y'all to get into the game. Put your phone down, get into the game, and cheer for what is going on in front of you on that floor instead of on your phone. So I just hope that, you know, phones down and they cheer on their respective teams and just get into it, because we need some excitement. They didn't have this last year. They had people on the video screens last year and, you know, fake crowd noise. We need some real noise, some real cheers, just everything. Yeah. Come on now.
Especially, you know, your team needed this game to, you know, to help to the next, you know, at least to, you know, of course, obviously to force a game seven. And they didn't seem, you're right, it didn't seem quite that.
It just seemed that, really dull.
You know, especially with all, you know, like I said, again, you know, basically a full arena of folks. It just, you would expect it a lot more from the
crowd. I mean, they came alive in the fourth, like when it was a few minutes left. I mean, you know, Atlanta tried to come up a little bit, but we needed that energy, you know, all throughout the game, not just in the fourth quarter. So word to the wise.
Yeah. Well, especially with Trae Young coming back too. Of course, for two games. Of course, you know, you really needed him. To really help. You know, push them over the edge. Of course, you know, I mean, it was an ankle injury. So those things are. You know, looked like he felt good. He looked like he was a little, a little precautious at first. But like I said, I think that they just really needed, they just really didn't have an answer for Chris Middleton. I mean, he was just
kind of going
up. And then, you know, Brook Lopez in there, you know, in the middle, they just really didn't have much of an answer for, Drew Holiday also was shooting lights out.
Right, so, like Drew Holiday, I didn't know he was still in the league, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really going to be interesting. Because you know, with the Suns in the regular season, the Suns did beat Milwaukee, you know, both times that they met. So I don't, you know, if that's any indication. Of course, in both those times, Giannis was playing. So I don't know if this will be any indication of how it'll go with the series. But you know that gives a little bit of an advantage knowing that they've, like I said, beat them in the regular season. Of course, this is playoff basketball. This is, you know, of course, this is Chris Paul's first finals being in the league. 36 years old, being in the league. I know that everybody, you know, is kind of rooting for him in that way. So,
and I already know his brother is giving him some pointers since he has been there. Both, I'm sure D Wade and LeBron both are giving him some like words of encouragement
They have
to get it done.
Yeah, they have a nice young team down there, you know. Devin Booker. Devin Booker is really just really coming alive. And then, you know, hopefully that Ayton, I hope that he didn't really have, to me, the greatest game last game. But, with the Clippers, we just kind of expected him to come out a little bit more. But again, we'll see. It's the finals. So maybe everybody steps up. Everybody, you know, puts their super A game out there and then leaves it out there on the court. But it should be, like I said, with that young group down there, Chris Paul leading the way, I just don't see how, they're pretty quick. But it's going to be, I think this is going to be a good finals, believe it or not. I do too.
I'm really looking forward to seeing, like I said, I didn't, you know, at the beginning of the season, you just don't predict those teams, you know, being in the finals because they're not the popular team, right. But they have popular players on the team. So I'm definitely looking forward to these finals this year. And it's good to see somebody else, you know, besides the norm of who we've seen in the past. So
absolutely. I mean, I think so too. And I think, you know, people are all, there's no, you know, there's no LeBron or, you know, Kawhi or, Steph Curry. I mean, but again, things have to change as they all do. So you get, like I said, these new teams. You know, we thought that Utah would probably come out there with Donovan Mitchell. You know, we thought that Dame Lillard would come out there, you know, with Portland. You're going to see that these teams are improving, and it seems to be a battle at every level, which is a good thing because you want that battle. Everybody wants to get to the top spot. So, you know, you're going to build, you're going to, you know, make a better team, put a better product out there. And, you know, like I said, the series to me, even the regular season, you know, people are going to start really focusing on, you know, hey, we need to do this to get here to make sure that we get to the next level, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, like I said, it's exciting to see that. Atlanta has nothing to be ashamed of because they have a super young team. And if they just keep together, keep Nate McMillan there. I mean, they're here again next year, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt in my mind they're back. You know, so absolutely. I just think that these teams now are really trying to solidify themselves, at the greater levels. I mean, it's really becoming very, very competitive to get to the next level.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because, you know, for a while, it just seemed dull. Like I said, I stopped watching basketball after Kobe retired. I wasn't really into it like that. But I think last year with, you know, everything being in a bubble, and now this year with, you know, fans back and stuff, I'm kind of getting my mojo back on getting to basketball. And it just seems very, like you said, it seems very competitive. Like these guys, they're hungry. These young guys, they're hungry. These young teams, they're hungry. They want, you know, they want this. They really want this. And they're just working their asses off to get to this next level and to continue to go because they want that ship. I mean, you know, obviously only one team is happy in the end, but I'm glad to see some competitive basketball being played out here nowadays. And not just, you know, raining threes and buckets and all that. No disrespect to the Golden State Warriors and to the light, you know, to the light skins, because light skins are always making it rain threes. But I want to see somebody up in somebody's face. I want to see some post shots. I want to see some boom, get out of here shots like I have seen in these NBA playoffs. So I'm so excited, and that's what keeps me watching every night. That's what keeps me watching every night. But, you know, so shout out to Phoenix. Shout out to Milwaukee. May the best team. I can't wait to see that series once it starts up. Because
It starts Tuesday night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tuesday. I can't wait. I'm here for it. I'm going to have all my snacks and stuff ready. We're going to be ready for it.
It should be, like I said, should be interesting to see. Can't wait.
Yeah, I definitely cannot wait. But, you know, I mentioned LeBron earlier being a champion that he is. And, you know, he's been at his, at Bronny's games. And I love to see when he's at Bronny's games because, you know, like you say, he's being a dad. He is being a supportive dad. And, you know, giving Bronny pointers and stuff. I saw a video the other day where I guess they were warming up. They were warming up, but I think they were at LeBron's old high school, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And he and Bronny were on the court, you know, with everybody else. And he was just giving Bronny pointers, you know, of how to, you know, what to do and how to make these shots. And you got to, you know, do this and put your butt out this way. I was like, okay, LeBron. Yes. Right. I love to see that. First of all, as a Black man who is taking care of his kids, like that's number one. But then I also like to see, you know, him just being supportive. LeBron is this huge, you know, this mega basketball star with multiple championships. And here he is just, you know, acting like a regular fan for his kid. You have to love that. You have to love absolutely. To see that.
Absolutely.
And then I like Cal too. You know, one time, and it might have been during the season, LeBron, I don't think he could make the game, but D Wade was right there in the stands cheering Bronny on. That's true brotherhood right there. Like, okay, well, your dad can't be here, but let me be here to support you.
Right.
It says a whole lot. And I love to see that because we all know how Black men.
Well, it's funny because I guess maybe over the weekend, I'm not exactly sure which day it was. Maybe it was Friday. Maybe it was Saturday. I really hate to call him Bronny because I just don't like this name. But anyway, he's playing the game. He dips his shoulder to try to get contact so he can get the foul. He doesn't make the shot. He doesn't make the shot, but he does get the foul. So I think the commentator at the game said that, oh, he basically was throwing shade. It was like, oh, he got that because it's LeBron's son and because LeBron is sitting in the audience.
What?
And so LeBron took offense and got in his face about that in the comment, you know, his wife trying to hold him back. It's, you know, like he was upset that the commentator had made this comment about his son. So I thought that was, you know, and everybody was like, yeah, I mean, what parent doesn't do that just in general?
Exactly.
So, you know, people were trying to, you know.
LeBron is not the one that's out there playing. It's LeBron's son.
Right. Yeah.
So don't try to do that. You know, I hate when people try to do that stuff.
Yeah, he confronts him. confronts the commentator about that. Yeah, so it was like a little showcase. That's what they're like, a showcase with the at LeBron's alma mater high school, St. Vincent, St. Mary High School, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, at the, well, basically the LeBron James Arena. I'm sorry, you know, my bad.
In the Chip Arena. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he walked onto the court to confront the announcer. It was, yeah. So I'm sure that there's video. Yeah, there's video out there on the internet. I'm sure you could pull it up. But yeah, he said that, you know, he was playing in the gym with his dad's name on it for the most part, and his father was in the stands.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, but how ignorant is that?
So, you know, so he's trying to say that the refs were giving him special treatment, you know, so.
I for one, don't believe that. And why would they give him special treatment? Again, I get that it's LeBron's son. I get that you're playing in LeBron James Arena. But come on. The commentator sounds like a hater to me. Sounds like a whole hater out here in these streets. Come on, don't do that. Like, he is his own person. So don't try to pit him or put him up on a pedestal that's higher than others. And I mean, to me, it's clear that LeBron doesn't, I'm not saying that he doesn't hold his son to a higher standard, but I just feel like he's being a parent.
Yeah, so that, I thought that, you know, that just goes to show you that, you know, they're parents just like everybody else. I mean, they're not just because they're stars or they're professional athletes at this point. You know, there's, you know, I mean
who's
parents,
not gonna, who's not gonna, parents have, as much as my family, you know, the girls in my family have played ball. Do you not think that my cousin's mom and my cousin's dad, do you not think that they have confronted people before? Yeah. Come on now. Even my aunt, she could not go to some of my cousin's games because she was rowdy.
Yeah.
And she would, you know, call people out and get in people's faces. So, you know, she had to stop going to games. So, you know, people are going to, they're going to defend their kid any way they can.
Right. And I mean, so, it's just being a parent. It's just being precise.
Yeah, you're being a parent. And anybody who is going to defend their kid, they're going to come and ride for their child. So there's that.
Yeah. So like I said, I thought that was interesting that, you know, he was out there, you know, being a dad. And of course, again, you know, of course, this is, you know, publicized. So like I said, I'm sure you can find the video on the internet anywhere, YouTube, Twitter, you know, wherever. I'm sure there was somebody was videotaping that somewhere and there's footage. Okay. So if you want to see the whole thing, check out one of those outlets and see where you can see.
Yeah, you know daggone well that's out there somewhere for the internet to see.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, sure.
But can we talk about, so you know that all this diversity and inclusion and
mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's a bit much.
Everything that is, you know, going on, and I get it. It's like it's a movement right now. And again, I blame COVID because we were all at a standstill. So everything was just put on a high pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you could see what was going on. I blame COVID, but I also blame, you know, the last president that we had also.
You know,
just everything, just it kind of just came to the forefront. So now, you know, places and businesses are trying to, you know, have diversity training, inclusion training, and you know, have more women be the face of things, have more, you know, Black people be the face, and, you know, just trying to get diverse things, you know, happening.
Right.
Some of these, you know, some of these businesses, some of these things, especially in politics, to me, they're not diverse enough. And right. Some of those old white men who have been in there for a long time, it's time for them to step down, and they need to get some color up in there and, you know, diversify and include everybody of, you know, a lot of people of color instead of these old white men who make these rules, because, you know, I don't know why they are the ones who make the rules, but whatever. I'm not even gonna go there because it makes me upset sometimes. But anyways, right. Keeping it in the NBA. So I don't know if y'all have heard. I saw the other morning that Rachel Nichols was trending, and every time I see somebody's name trending, I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? So I clicked on it and I wanted to see what was happening. And then I, you know, saw a video or heard the video that Rachel Nichols was saying, you know, pretty much they asked her, why don't she, I guess, do something else for the NBA Finals. Now, mind you, I think the date on this video was from 2020. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people have, you know, said that, but she was pretty much saying they wanted Maria Taylor to be mm-hmm. the face of the NBA Finals, like, you know, to do the sideline reporting full time. And you know, Rachel was just saying, you know, I applaud her, and, you know, I give her big props or whatever for doing that, but just pretty much not on my time. I'm all for diversity, but not on my time. Like, find that somewhere else. And, you know, people just made it a big deal, a big thing. And I mean, I understand from what she was saying for the most part until the end. The ending of what she said, I was like, oh, Rachel, don't say that.
Well, it was okay. Well, so she was okay. This was a phone call, of course, like I said, while they were in a bubble last year, mm-hmm. That she was actually having with, we just talked about him, LeBron James, PR person. So, PR advisor. So, a couple of things to me came out of this conversation. Just what you were talking about there, that, you know, she was, you know, because, you know, and I get it too, you know, as a female, I worked hard to get to where I'm going. And you guys are feeling pressured, like you need to put, you know, somebody, you know, be diverse in this area. But, you know, basically, you know, I worked hard too, you know, and it's in my contract. So I don't understand why you felt pressured to put her in a different place. So, I mean, so in a way, I kind of get that. But the second thing that kind of bothered me, too, was just the fact that Mendelsohn, the PR advisor, was saying that, you know, between Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movement, that he is exhausted. Like, he just didn't have anything else to give. So, of course, he came out and, you know, gave an apology for that, saying that, I know that the people affected by these issues aren't tired of it. And I just, you know, try, you know, he's, you know, he, you know,
trying to say,
should, you know, he shouldn't have said anything. You know, he should have just kept his, you know, his thoughts to himself, or, you know, not even thought that. But, you know, but he does work to support these movements. And, you know, they are never exhausted moving forward, trying to get their voices heard. So, and I'm sure they have felt like they've had nothing left. But, you know, so he's going to be, you know, try to be better about it, about his attitude towards everything. But I just thought that those two points right there kind of really stood out to me. Now, of course, Maria Taylor, you know, she does college football. She does the NBA. I think that, you know, her contract is up in July. She has turned down $5 million contract, stating basically that, you know, I'm on like Stephen A type of status, that, you know, why can't I get $8 million? And I mean, you know, you can, hey, if you think that you're out there like that and you can get it, then get it. I'm pretty sure that somebody will pay her. Absolutely. Now, I don't know if it'll be the $8 million, but I know that somebody will pay her. So, you know, she has the, what is that? What did she do? Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not really a big fan of hers because I just don't like that. I don't like that show she's on. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Jalen Rose. And,
right. Yeah.
That whole show that they have, I just can't get with it. I'm not saying that she's not knowledgeable, but she just, I don't know. I don't get that feel with her, in that little crew right there. But either way, but she's looking, like I said, her contract ends July, this month. So, we'll see what happens. I'm not really sure, who will pick her up. I'm sure Fox will probably pick her up, and then that's kind of bad too. Hopefully she gets it. I mean, and I hope that ESPN didn't feel pressured to give it, you know, really. I mean, if that was really their, the basis of giving her that finals in the bubble, that final shot, I really hope that that's not their working theory that, okay, this is what we should do. Because like I said, again, I mean, I don't have any problem with Rachel Nichols. Like I said, if you work hard, I mean, she's a female. I mean, just that, yeah, alone, that alone in that field, you know what I'm saying? You working your way up and then.
Exactly.
Now you want to, see, and I mean, and quite honestly, I think, there's way more, there's quite a few significant African-American females on the sidelines, whether it be football or basketball, it's not even African-American, just a diverse group of females in general. So I think that this is, this is more to me of a female, issue. But I mean, but I have to say, I've seen more and more on the sidelines, on the panels. So
yeah.
I get it. Like I said, you work hard and it's like, come on, now this.
Right. On top of being female, yeah, now, you gotta bring a black female into here. Yeah.
Because it's not a situation where you're really trying to break in like a lot of the men have to, where, like you said, it's the good old boy kind of network, and you really have to break into that because that good old boy network holds all the money. And, and you're coming up and you don't have that and you're trying to get in, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these organizations, football, basketball, doesn't make a difference. They try to hand it down to theirs as opposed to the qualified person. So, it's more of a keeping like a family type of thing, unless, just sold, to somebody else. They try to, like I said, they try to keep everything family.
Right.
So breaking those kind of barriers, and family tends to, lean towards a certain type of GM, a certain type of coach, and and it's hard to break those barriers like that. Whereas to me, it seemed like there are I see a lot more female reporters, especially in basketball, than I do anywhere else. So I'm thinking that they are, breaking barriers in that sense.
And I really feel like in the last few years, really, especially in basketball, there have been, more women sideline reporters.
Yeah.
And that I have seen, before all of this, diversity and inclusion and, bringing females to the forefront, I feel like, the NBA was definitely bringing them on before, talked about.
Exactly. I mean, you even have at this point now too, you even have Becky Hammon being considered for head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
So you know, I see that there's more, the NBA is a little bit more willing to accept.
And I think the NBA is, I feel like the NBA is not ahead of its time, but yeah, like you said, they're a little more willing to accept women into into that arena, you know, for the NBA and not the WNBA, you know, not well, to say, oh, y'all going over here.
Well, I think it's because of the WNBA that they have because there's a woman's side to that.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, the NFL is not really, there's no, the NFL is not backing like, you know, like a WNFL. You know, there's not a female.
Right.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, women are slowly getting in, but it's not to the point of, like I said, because there are plenty of women who, you know, you end up kind of maybe on the men's side because the women's side only takes you so far.
Right.
And
right.
With the women. By building now, you know, like I said, you get more opportunities, you know, for them to come over. You know that you do know that they understand the game of basketball, you know, mm-hmm. It's like that. Whereas, you know, females, they don't, you know, it's not like they really play, not to say that, but at the same time, too, it's not like you have to have a coach that played football before. But I mean, but it's nice to have those type of things. And with right. a lot of people, you know, like I said, maybe I'm a trainer. You know what I'm saying? I work my way up because I'm seeing everything here. I work my way up to being a coach.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's not the same as basketball because a lot of these females probably, well, I don't know about some of our sideline recorders, but, you know, but they've played, they've been in that arena. They, you know, they've been around. It's, you know, it's like I said, it's easier. It's an easier transition from one to the other, I think, than it is for football. So. You'll see the more, I think, like more of that kind of diversity on that side than you will like on the NFL side, like I said, or even the baseball side, because there's the women's, you know, there's not a lot of women who, I don't think that anybody's having any problems with a female sideline reporters for Major League Baseball or hockey.
I mean, are there any?
There are a few on your side.
You know, I don't really watch those. Like
B-side, hockey, I think hockey has a few more on the panels than they do, you know, like sideline reporting. But but nobody makes a big deal that they don't have a lot of female reporters, you know, talking about baseball or talking about hockey as they do, and the NBA and
basketball. I wonder why that is.
But, you know, those are the football and basketball to me, for especially, and it's so funny to me because especially for a lot of people who like to say that baseball is America's, you know, favorite pastime.
Thank you. And I was just going to bring that up.
I think the NFL and the NBA probably bring in way more money than baseball. But I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not really looking at numbers. So I really don't really know how that, you know, how it really pans out, because I know baseball season is long. You know, 180 some. They have a terribly long season, and you know, it's so I don't know what kind of you know I know they're somebody's baseball game is on every day, so you know, during the season,
like the Nats play like every other day.
Yeah, I mean, like they all do. You know, I think it's like, you know, they get 3 or 4 game series, and then they might have the one day that they for travel to the next series, or however, you know, whichever team travels to them, whatever, they have one day, and then it's back on, you know, outside of a rain delay, you know, there's never usually a break, you know, so then yeah, they don't get like, you don't get too many multiple days off unless I think if they go cross country, if they have to go like West Coast, I think they get in between, but like I said, it's not more than 2 days off to travel and play.
Some of the hardest working people in these games, I see.
Right. So I don't really hear too much about females not being able to report.
Right.
You know, on the, I mean, you know, it's just, it, you know, just kind of, kind of crazy to me when you hear about stuff.
I mean, but like I said, you bring up a good point, because you definitely don't hear, nobody is like really pushing, oh, but they don't have, you know, female reporters for baseball. They don't have female reporters for hockey. How come no one, you know, you don't hear that. But like you said, for baseball, I mean, for basketball and football, it's, well, where, you know, where are the women reporters? Because I'm, you know, I'm always like, where are the women reporters for the baseball? I mean, for basketball and football, like, where are they? They need some more, or, you know, they need some more Black ones. And, you know, I just feel like it's been fulfilled for me now, for especially for football. I see a lot more color on the sidelines now, besides just Pam Oliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, you know, I really do think that we're moving in. Excuse me. We're moving in a good direction. Finally, and it's been a long time coming for that, but I feel like, you know, the opportunities are there and people are more on board, whoever these higher ups are. You know, I feel like they're more on board now to hire these minority women and men in these positions, and to put them in these positions on the sidelines, or, you know, with their own shows or whatever the case is. So I think the future is looking good.
Well, absolutely. And hopefully, you know, this whole thing with Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor, it doesn't appear that it's like personal attacks.
Yeah, I don't think it is. And you know, like I said, Rachel gave her props, but it was just to, you know, find it somewhere else, just not on my watch.
Right.
So, and you know, right, obviously she knows how it is, you know, as a woman in the industry, she knows.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have to check those boxes, Black and female, Maria checks those boxes.
I mean, yeah. And you know, that's what happens. And, you know, hopefully, you know, like I said, and she's, you know, I hate to look at her, you know, it's an African-American woman, you know, obviously renegotiating her contract or trying to get more money. But I mean, hey,
mm-hmm.
Everybody at every level tries to do this in their job. You try to get high, you know, hey, I want a raise, or, you know, whatever right. It is. So, I mean, good luck to her.
Yeah. Yep. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. And more good luck to you. So I want to switch gears here. Mm-hmm. As we know, the Olympics are coming. The Olympics are coming.
They are.
I can't wait. You know, I've been waiting for this since last year when they canceled. Mm-hmm. I was hurt, but I'm so happy that it's, you know, they're going to be back this year, and they're going to be in Tokyo. And I can't wait for the opening ceremonies. And I know I've said this before, but the opening ceremonies when they're in an Asian country are thebomb.com, because you never know what they're going to do. So I cannot wait to see what the opening ceremonies are looking like, what technology is going to be added in there, the lights and the colors and just everything. Like, it just, that opening ceremonies of the Olympics just brings me joy.
Mm-hmm.
Me all sorts of joy. Like, I really do enjoy that. And just seeing all the countries, you know, being represented and them marching in and seeing my own Team USA marching. I just get chills thinking about it right now. I love it. But as we all know, you know, young lady, Sha'Carri Richardson, she was on her way to the, she's on her way to the Olympics after, competing in the qualifier?
Yes, the qualifying, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Competing in the qualifier. Yes,
just the trials, right. Just the, you know, the track and field trials, whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, she was on her way, and you know, she found out from, they keep saying from a reporter that, you know, a reporter told her that her biological mother died, and you know, I guess she was just going through that and she probably had a lot of stuff going on. Long story short, she tested positive for, I believe, what, THC?
Yes, marijuana. Weed,
mm-hmm. Because, you know, she was trying to suppress her feelings about her mother. And now she is on a 30-day suspension and will not be able to compete in the Olympics. And everybody, like, she had everybody rooting for her. Everybody, well, I'm not going to say had, because people are still rooting for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just good to see, and people were comparing her to FloJo in a sense of, you know, how she had the colorful hair and the nails and the lashes. She was her, you know, she was just herself. This is how the young kids are these days. However it makes you run and make you feel good, then, you know, do you. But, you know, it's unfortunate that she won't be able to participate in the Olympics this year because of weed. And this was another trending topic that I saw on Twitter. And, you know, everybody has an opinion about something. And, you know, people were just saying they need to still let her run. Why are people still being tested for marijuana when it is legal in, you know, half the states now? But it's, you know, I guess as athletes, they're still being, tested for, you know, for these things, I believe.
These are the rules that the Olympic Committee has set forth. So this is, you know, that's what I try to tell folks, like, you know, everybody's kind of, but these are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, regardless of the fact that it might have, you know, the state that she was in, it was legal for her to do that. A lot of things are legal, but at the same time, the rules are the rules. So she, I mean, she willingly, I mean, she admitted, yeah, I did this. I know.
Yeah,
I knew,
and
you know,
I'm glad that she owned up.
Yeah, she owned it. So I'm not really upset at it at all. I mean, everybody's upset because, you know, everybody's putting these theories out about how, oh, you're trying to do this to all of these. Because I think Brittany O'Neal, she has a 5-year ban as well. Well, not as well, but she has a 5-year ban that she just lost her appeal to run for this Olympics. You know, everybody's trying to say, oh, you're trying to keep our athletes down. You don't want the U.S. to win gold medals. No, everybody has to comply by these rules.
Yeah,
everybody has to comply. You see, you know, a lot of the, you know, a lot of these Russian athletes had gotten tested like the last Olympics, and a lot of them had to forfeit because they had banned substances in their, you know, when they got tested after they won, they had banned substances. This is how it works. You can't say, okay, well, one yes and one no. You know, oh, look at the reason, okay, and say it's okay. That doesn't work, because then you leave this open for the next one. And like I said, she understands the ramifications of it all. She doesn't seem to be, I mean, I'm sure she was initially upset, but I mean, she seems to have embraced the fact that, you know, these are the rules.
Right. And according to them, I broke it.
And even after 30 days, because they're like, oh, it's a 30-day ban. You know, she'll still be able to run. I don't really think all of that happens that fast either, because I think, again, she, just like anybody else, you have to apply
mm-hmm.
to be able to come back. And that doesn't just take overnight for them to say, okay, yeah, you can race. And then I don't know what has to happen to, I don't know if she has to be in, you know, in certain races in order for her to even qualify for, you know, relays, whatever it is that she, you know, 400, whatever she runs. I don't know if she.
Hey, and that's what I was wondering. I was wondering that too. Like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, oh, here's a 30-day ban, boom, you know, you can run. It does not work that way. And I saw somebody say, oh, she can, she will be able to, you know, participate. And I'm like, no, I don't think she is. And the way she's talking, like, oh, you know, I won't be your Olympic champ this year, but I'll make sure I'm your world champ next year, or, you know, whatever the case is. But like you said, the rules are rules. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, I think they should let her run too, but she should have thought about what she was doing. Like, I get that you were grieving and, you know, you try to suppress your feelings, but that's not the way to do it. You knew what you were up against. You knew the rules, and you still.
You can't tell somebody what they need to do.
Right.
Everybody handles things the way that they handle them. And like I said, she owned up to it. So, you know, she owned it. So it wasn't as if, like I said, it's not like she didn't know. She did.
Yes,
she made a conscious decision to do this. Mm-hmm. And she knew what the consequences could be. So let's not, like I said, let's not mistake this. Like, oh, she, like I said, people, that's why when people have a hard time with things, okay, well, you know, that's the way that they want to deal with it. Because I don't want somebody to tell me how to deal with something.
Yeah. And you cannot tell people how to grieve.
So if that's what she needs to do, like I said, again, knowing the consequences, knowing what could happen, this is what she did. You know, it was, you know, something that she obviously felt that she had, you know, had to do to help her get through that. So I'm not mad. I just wish that people would stop thinking that it's just like some sort of conspiracy theory to not. I mean, you know, we come to her and say, smoke this. You know what I'm saying? You guys
make it. Right.
You know, the people are out here purposely trying not to, you know, let our athletes participate. That's not it. You make these choices. When you decide to take this, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate that you're going to have to. Hey, what's in that? I need to know before, because it could ruin my chances for whatever it is. Like I said, not for the Olympics, for Worlds, for any meet that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
In between time, anything.
I'm sure that, you know, she's learned her lesson.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, she knows what she's up against now. So, you know, should this come up again, then she won't have this issue. This issue anymore. But, you know, I'm sorry that her biological mother died, and I don't really know her backstory, but I just know from what she's saying, you know, she's been through a lot. People don't know what I've been through, and I get that it's hard out here for people these days.
Yeah, you would, and a lot of these folks, you wouldn't really know their story, because again, it's not like track and field is something that is constantly on TV. Like, you know, nobody, I don't want to say nobody pays attention to it, but it's not really a big, spectator type of sport until something like the Olympics or Worlds comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really paid attention to that much. So, you know, you do hear about, you know, a little bit of story here and there, but you won't get it for, unless you actually follow, you won't really hear a lot of these runners or athletes' stories unless you really sat down and, you know, and really researched, read up on them. You wouldn't know. So again, I feel bad, but at the same time, you know, she seems, you know, to be as good as she can be. Like, there's nothing she can do. So
yeah, she seems like she's in good spirits. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I watched the interview from, what was it, Good Morning America or CBS Today?
Okay,
I forget which network that was, but you know, I watched the interview, and you know, she seemed like she was in good spirits. You know, she owned up to the fact. And she is, you know, she's moving on.
Yeah.
So, and in that, you know, she knows that she has the support of, you know, everyone also. You know, there's only, like, there's a handful of people who, you know, are on here that are haters out here and saying, you know, just giving her strikes down. But otherwise, she knows that she has everyone's support, and I think this is helping her to cope. Now, should they change the rule? Do you think they should change some of the rules of yesterday to cope with today?
Well, I think that such, Olympics covers such a broad range of events in sports. So I think that the committee may have to really sit down and think about some of these, you know, some of these substances.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, and the reason why I say that is because it's going to be hard to monitor, I think, for everyone. I mean, is it just this? Is it the level of this that you know, makes it, can I only have to detect this, you know, what percentage, you know, how high, you know, what, how much can an athlete have? I mean, how does it, how are you going to enforce that across the board? You know, it could only be, yeah, you know, I've seen where, you know, well, they've only, you know, they only detected, you know, 0.01%, but that's over the limit, or, you know, it's really going to have to say, and I don't think that it'll happen by the next Olympics. I don't think maybe two down the road, because again, you're looking at this, I'm thinking too, you're looking at this as not just the Summer Olympics too. You're also looking at this in the Winter Olympics.
For the winter, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is also the Paralympics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is this going to factor? And I think it's going to take a long time for them to come up with a reasonable solution that all the athletes can be held, you know, be held accountable for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, they have to come up with something that fits across, excuse me, across the board.
Yeah. So
I think some of the rules need to be changed and altered in order to fit for today. I mean, that, and that's just that, that's what a lot of stuff nowadays anyway. They need to update these things. You know, they need to update some of these rules and regulations to fit to today, because this is 2021. This is not, you know, 1960s or 70s or, you know, even further back. It's not that, you know, now.
I mean, I agree. I just hope that, again, you know, the Olympic, it could at least be brought up, you know, mm-hmm. maybe athletes get together and they, you know, say, hey, look, this is what we need to do. You know, or you know, petition the Olympic Committee, you know, and come with a, you know, a strong argument as to why and, you know, how and or how can, you know, how can they work with the Olympic Committee to make these, you know, make something work.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they come up with something like that, you know, shouldn't be a problem.
And I wonder if the Olympic Committee, are they diverse?
Right.
You know, that yeah, also yeah. plays into yeah. a, like that plays in, that takes into account, you have to take into account also.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, you know, again, not to say that if they're not diverse, but you need some diversity on these things in order to get a whole broad spectrum of you know, of what's going on. You can't just have the good old boys sitting up at the top, because they don't know, they can't relate.
Yeah. So that's,
you know, I'm, what I mean?
Hopefully, like I said, they bring, like I said, you know, if the athletes really want some changes like that, hopefully they can, I mean, at least I would think that they would, you know, get together, approach the committee. I think, you know, the Olympic Committee is, you know, I would like to say it's very diverse, because, you know, you have representatives from, you know, different countries. These people are, you know, trying to make the best for everyone, you know, because, again, it's a world competition. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just think that if you get enough athletes from, you know, some different countries, not just, you know, not just the U.S., hey, look, hey. This deal, you know, for something, then, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know,
maybe they can make something like this happen. I just really get, like, just with everything, you know, like everything in life, you know, mm-hmm. at some point there has to be some sort of change because the world changes.
Yeah, and the world's ever changing and evolving, and we just need to fit some things with the times. Like a lot of stuff they need changing nowadays anyway.
But you know, and with that, like I said, that's how things get changed. People come together, they present something. Hey, look, this is how we feel it should be changed. Or these are the people that need to talk, you know, have communication so that we could try to make some changes that suits everybody. And make, you know, yeah. what I'm saying, and will last, you know, at least until the next big change comes in.
Right. Right. I agree.
So we, you know, but yeah, I mean, but definitely with the Olympics, it's definitely needs to be considered
mm-hmm.
with a lot of the, yeah, with a lot of the, especially the stateside. I know, I don't know how it is in other countries, but I, you know, with something like that, a lot of states are now allowing, you know, marijuana to be legal. I think that. You know, I don't think that is much of an enhancing type of drug, but
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that's much of an enhancing type of drug at all, unless it's, you know, laced with something. But then you got to think about that too. If it's laced with something that can, you know, enhance your performance somehow, some way. I mean, I don't know. I'm no expert, but you know, I don't know.
Well, like I said, you know, they would have, like, again, you know, hopefully it could bring it to the committee's attention, and maybe they'll start to look at it so they can find, you know, a happy medium, maybe, or maybe mm-hmm. not. I'd say, nah, there's just no way for us to be sure then, you know. But I mean, my thing is, you have to give it consideration. If you're not going to give it, you have to at least give it a consideration. And I think that's fair. To give it some consideration.
Yeah.
You can't just say no off the break and not.
And not even consider at all. Yeah, they have to. There has to be some type of consideration. And, you know, who knows what they have? Who knows what they have going on right now? They could be, you know, it could be some beginning talks, you know, amongst them, or, you know, something that's going to be brought up after these Olympics, you know, to start the change. Of some of these rules and regulations in the Olympics. So who knows, you know, what they have going on. But, you know, I would like to see a little bit of change here and there. A little change won't hurt people.
Oh, it won't hurt. It won't. So like I said, we'll see what they come up with. I hope it's, you know, I hope it works out for everybody.
I hope it does too, but I'm definitely looking forward to the Olympics and, you know, seeing all the events and all the athletes compete. And it's just always a good time. So I'm here for it. I'm here for it all. But we are at the end of our show. That time has gone by so fast.
I know. So
as
much.
Usual. Yeah, you know, it's always a good time, Yolanda. Always a good time.
I know so much. Yeah, I can't wait for the Olympics to start up because this is going to be fun to talk about. Oh, and just really quick, sir, I know a lot of people don't talk about. Well, I don't say a lot of people don't talk about it, but you know, Wimbledon did start. Unfortunately,
yes.
Arena had to pull out because the injury. I do hope that they now, speaking of change, I do hope they change something there at Wimbledon, because it always seems like it's constantly, you know, it's like raining. They only have two courts with the cover, which is center court and court one. But even within that, when they cover those courts, it's like a big hot box. So it's just humid. It makes the ground very saturated still. It's very slick. So I'm hoping that they can either maybe hold it at another time or find mm-hmm. some way to make it better inside that bubble for them, for the players when they come and play, because more than a few have gone out on injury because of sliding on the grass or losing their footing on the grass courts. there. So hopefully Serena will be able to come back maybe and you know, at another tournament or another Open and see if she could play again. I know everybody's, you know, not really, you know, it's not all about Serena, but again, you know, it was really hard to see her not be able to.
And
you know, it was for her to leave in that fashion, just really it was really hard to see that. But you
I
know
mean, the way she like killed over
she tried
to fight through that, but to see her just like keel over, I was like, oh man, Serena. It was a sad sight to see.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, like Coco Gauff's still there. We still have young women in there still, you know, fighting, you know, for the win. So I just wanted to throw that in there because I know Wimbledon is pretty big for me at this time. So, you know, I just, well, okay. So, again, we're talking safety and talking to folks. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people watch the Tour de France. I try to watch the Tour de France every year. At stage four, obviously this is now four or five stages ago at this point, but at stage four, the first three stages of the tour, they had major crashes. One of them was caused because a fan stood in the middle of the roadway where they were racing.
Yes!
She did not move. I do hope that they caught this woman because she caused a most terrible crash So in stage four, after everyone crossed the start line, the riders stopped and for a minute to protest the safety conditions that they faced. And then if I'm not mistaken, they were supposed to have an easy ride because they were, like I said, again, peacefully protesting the safety conditions for the riders out there. But, you know, I was talking to my mother's husband about it. You know, I was saying, you know, we were both saying that it's really on both, though, but it's on both the riders and the designers or who picks the courses for the Tour de France. You know, or maybe doing a little something more with fans at certain spots, or making it, and you know, of course, too, you know, making sure that the riders do their part, you know, with the safety as well. So, I think they will definitely have some discussions after this tour about what they can do to, you know, both riders and the committee there to make it safe for everybody participating. In that venue. So
I mean, I just feel like people are just going ballistic these days.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, for you to just stand out in the middle, you see the bike riders coming. You see them coming. You just gonna stand in the middle and then cause all this commotion and cause these accidents for these bike riders. Like, come on. What is wrong with people these days?
It's really quite crazy.
People have lost their ever loving minds. They really have.
Yeah, I was quite shocked. I was just like, I can't believe that. And I can't believe that I don't want to say they allowed it to happen, but like, I mean,
where was the security? Like, how did you get there? Where was the security?
Yeah, I mean, but like, again, there's only so much that, you know, so much that they have and can do too, because a lot of times they ride with like the lead riders, and then there's a few back with the peloton, which is really really kind of like the rest of the group. And it's, you know, you're kind of really kind of clearing out, hoping, but you don't know what happens behind you, because once I come through clearing out, then, you know, what happens behind me? How about she steps after I pass, you know, then how she steps in behind me? I don't know that she does this. You know, and then by the time the riders are coming around, they're riding 80, 90, 100 miles an hour. By the time they come around, you just don't brake like that. You know, it's like it's like when you ride, you know, in front of a truck and you cut the truck off. The truck can't stop on a dime.
Right.
You know, and as riders, they can't just stop on a dime, because first of all, you're in that really big pack, which is the peloton. Mm-hmm. When you're in that big pack, you slam. I mean, it's reaction. As soon as you hit your brakes or try to stop, everybody boom, boom is right behind you. And it's not like there's brakes on this thing where you could kind of maybe see and maybe try to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, horses, you know, they go off and, you know, there are ditches on the side. There are cliffs on the side. You can't just swerve and just be like, okay, I'm trying to get out of the way. You know, there's a lot of brush or, you know, debris on the side of the road. You just can't do that. And that's why you see, I think the, I forgot the rider's name. You know, he ended up with a broken collarbone. These things, you know, so you have to really be, you know, like I said, so, you know, those kind of things really need to be taken into consideration once these, you know, like I said, again, they need to come together, both riders and, you know, and people who set these things up. They need to come together and the cycling associations and figure out something better in terms. And like I said, and they didn't, you know, nobody was hollering or, oh, I'm not going to ride. They had their peaceful protest about it during the race. And then hopefully again, at the end of the tour, they'll, you know, have some sort of discussions about what to do, you know, going forward.
Lord, I tell you, things just get. it just don't make no sense, man. No sense at all. I don't know. I don't even know.
I don't know where people's minds are, but yeah.
I don't either. And I'm not even gonna get started on that today because that's just, again, that's a whole other show. Also, like, you want me to complain about a whole lot of stuff? Oh, I definitely will. I can, but I'm not gonna do it today. I'm gonna spare y'all's ears for today. But thank you guys. This is ladies POV. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Yolanda, any final words?
No, man, NBA finals are going to be on. I obviously watch something good as usual. Just, you know, be safe out there, folks. You know, you try to use the common sense while you're out here in these streets.
I agree. Try to use your common sense. Be safe out here because, you know, people are out here just living. People are living their best lives and not doing it safe. And people have stopped washing their hands. I'm pretty sure. So. Yes. You make sure that you please continue to wash your hands. Yeah. We shouldn't have to tell grown people that, but, you know, we do. So continue to wash your hands. Teach your kids to wash their hands. Stay out of my face. Stay out of Yolanda's space. Give us 6 feet. I don't want anybody all up in my personal space. Like, some people just don't have a sense of personal space. And, you know, I don't want you all up in my space. So give us 6 feet. We'll give you 6 feet. And then we'll be on our way. We can have a conversation that way. But this has been another episode of Ladies POV, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We do appreciate you. And we will see you back here next week. Peace.
Absolutely. See you.